Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Joel Ostro joins us again. Hey, Doc, this is John. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Good. So Russia now says, well, now that we've suppressed the military of Ukraine enough, we can concentrate on the eastern portion of the country, which may or may not have been the point all along. Sounds like a bunch of hogwash, but do you see that as a turning point? Are you optimistic about that kind of rhetoric from a Russian general and what Putin is doing?
Well, I'm kind of with you on the hogwash interpretation there. Number one, it was never realistic that they were going to control the whole country to begin with. Number two, if they were seeking regime change, perhaps they've determined that that effort's going to fail. Number three, they're still bombing the hell out of major cities, including Kiev and now Lviv, so that's actually an increase. Mariupol is still under intense siege, so I don't see much of a change there. Their overall strategic goal, I think, was always to splinter off, at a minimum, Crimea, Donbass, or maybe the whole eastern part of Ukraine. That doesn't seem to have changed. So I don't see really any change in strategy or in tactics at this point. And that includes the just depravity of the intentional attacks on civilian institutions, hospitals, apartment buildings. For that to go on for a couple of days is one thing, but for that to be a sustained tactic over weeks and weeks is just unimaginable. It's still hard to fathom that the Russians are doing this.
What did you make of President Biden's speech and then his ad lib about Putin can't be in power?
I've had a few migrating thoughts on that, to be honest. But those were all sort of overwhelmed by a recent poll that came out over the weekend that showed President Biden's approval rating for the handling of this crisis just inexplicably low, because I still believe the administration has done an incredibly heroic job of unifying the response against Russia's actions, and I can't see how any president could have handled this better. So that's just baffling and incredibly disappointing to me. Joe Biden is Joe Biden. He went off script and he spoke from the heart. And who can really dispute the sentiment that we wish this guy were no longer in power? I've been wishing that for 22 years. But he shouldn't have said it. My first reaction was, oh, God, did you really say that? That's not going to help things. And I don't think it helps on either of those measures. So that's unfortunate.
It sounds like something Donald Trump would say. I mean, it's a tough guy approach. Like, he can't be in power. When he said that we will deal with chemical weapons with, what was the phrase? It wasn't like weapons, but in equal terms or something.
Respond depending on the nature of the attack, will respond proportionally or something like that.
In kind. That was it. And each of those, to me, were sort of tough language that were sufficiently vague that you don't need to explode them any more than is necessary. It was just him. It was posturing.
But that's experienced posturing. That's very different than Trump. I mean, on the one, he's Joe Biden speaking from the heart, and I believe that he meant that in a compassionate way, compassion for the Russian people, for freedom, for the Ukrainians, and really for the whole world who's been damaged by Putin's rule and more so now than ever. So I think it comes from a different place, to be honest.
Well, but do you think that the war is going badly enough for Russia that, I'll just go back to my original question, that they are changing or modifying their objectives?
Well, we need to see that the changes in how they're executing their invasion, and I don't see evidence of that yet. Just last night, the reports of a series of massive missile attacks on the capital of Kyiv. So I don't really see a change in that.
Yeah, I understand.
And they still want to split off the eastern half of Ukraine. So I don't see Russia backing off of that either. I think they still believe that militarily they can achieve that goal.
They sure are paying a price for it. And maybe the other thing kind of keying on here, and the more you talk, the more I see how silly my first question was. But if nothing else, Russia and the rest of the world is getting a sense of how deliberate the Ukrainian people are. They are not giving in. They are continuing to fight. They're willing to pay the price. And they had some advances over the weekend. They were actually able to counterattack the Russian positions.
Correct. And I will admit, I had not seen the documentary Winter on Fire that details the months and months of the Maidan protests back in 2013, 2014. Having watched that, how anyone could have expected that the Ukrainian people were going to roll over and allow Russia to do anything is just even less understandable, other than just self-deception based on their own propaganda. It is an amazing stand that the Ukrainian people are taking. And earlier on, people were saying, how long can they hold out? And now people are saying, how long can Russia tolerate these extended losses? So it is remarkable.
Well, their lines are extended. I mean, it doesn't sound like they've solved the supply issues, the morale issues, the strategy issues, heck, the armament issues. I mean, Russia's army looks a little thin right now.
Well, can I take 1 second to discuss a very different supply matter?
I have 60 seconds. Joel, I have 60 seconds.
Really,
they're all yours.
You got it.
Go.
It's going to be really important for the whole world because we're getting near April 1st. We know that Ukraine is not sowing crops, wheat crops, grain crops. Mm. Russia and Ukraine together supply a lot of the grain and food, basic food source items for much of Europe and many other parts of the world. We don't want anyone buying Russia's crops en masse, given these sanctions, and Ukraine's not going to have much to sell. And I am not expert on this, and I have not looked it up, but I really would like to know. I do know that the U.S. has always underproduced, and that much of what we grow rots in grain silos. And the United States is the only country in the world that has the capacity to step in to meet those needs of the rest of the world. I would like to know, if the United States is increasing, our planned yield on grain and wheat to meet those needs of the rest of the world, because if we don't, no one else is, and we don't want to buying from Russia, and that's going to be global food problems.
I think that is something we will look into here, and I'll call you later in the week, Dr. Joel. Thanks
Sounds
for your time
great.
Today.
Thanks, John.
Mr. Ostro is a professor of international politics at Benedictine University.